1097, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you. I was thinking about something that we were, as we were this morning, singing this song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. Were you engaged in that process as we were singing that song? When are you, I had a wonderful conversation with somebody from our church today, earlier, about being engaged by essentially the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, in the middle of the night when there's stress going on inside. And it was an opportunity in the hours of the evening when sleep was disturbed for fresh surrender and to say, essentially, Spirit of God, minister right now to me. Today I'm going to be talking, if you look at your notes, and I hope you will all take out your notes, talks about engaging seekers. I want to remind you that when we talk about seekers, we're talking about people. It could be anybody who's actually even sometimes kind of aggressive and combative about the things of God. People who have questions and they feel like their questions haven't been answered and surely have not been answered satisfactorily as far as they are concerned. It could be somebody like that. It could be somebody that is mildly interested in religion. And so they come for sometimes they would talk to us about religion in general. It can be all the way up to that person that is the most mature person in this room in terms of a walk with God. Seekers are people who will actually listen for a few seconds or a few minutes or a few hours when the subject of God, a God who is powerful and loves us, would want to engage us. This morning, I was reading in my quiet time from from Tim and Kathy Keller's devotional guide in the Psalms. And from Psalm 89, verses 9 through 18, he takes these verses out. I want you to hear these verses. Verse 13 through 15, Psalm 89. This is what the psalmist says to God. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, you who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. And then the Kellers write these words about might and right. Might and right. Does that sound like the divine right of kings? Yeah, of course it does. That's why they chose that. Might and right. Here are two attributes of God. He is all-powerful, verses 9 through 13, and he is perfectly righteous, verses 14 through 18. To those confident of their own insight, suffering disproves the existence of such a God. Let me read that again. To people who are confident of their own insight, then suffering disproves the existence of God. They reason that he would want to end all suffering if he were good. And he would go ahead and do that if he were in fact omnipotent. Since evil continues, they conclude, God can't be both. But we should admit that an infinite God, could actually have good reasons for allowing suffering, and that our finite minds can't always understand or fathom that. Once we take the more humble stance, once we take the more humble stance, God's attributes are of deep comfort. Because he is all-powerful, nothing is out of his control. Because he is perfectly righteous, everything will eventually work out for good in the end. And he cites Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, and God's work in the family of Joseph in Egypt. And his prayer is, Lord, my heart often resents your power and questions. My heart often resents your righteousness. But when I think that I know better than you, I sink under anxiety. How truly blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. The more I accept your goodness and control of things, the more I can relax. Amen. So I read these words because we live in a world where probably you have thought before, I can't understand. How can God be righteous and allow these things to happen? He wouldn't do that. If you were all powerful, these bad things wouldn't happen to good people. We can't fathom because we keep thinking that God is at best just a little bit wiser than us. So when that kind of thing happens, we have questions and we have opportunities to get answers from God. And we have opportunities to search the scriptures. And we even have opportunities to search the scriptures with other people who might be having the same kinds of questions and probably have had the same kinds of questions along the way. Opportunities. Opportunities are out there, left and right. And opportunities to engage people in going to the very source, to going to our authority on all things as they relate to life and a relationship by faith with God. The relationship we're talking about is not just like a, I sure hope these things work out. Or I kind of had this notion about what is good and what is acceptable to God. And what is acceptable really, and really, I kind of hope that God, you know, this religion that I find has a God who's on the right side of history. Are you serious? Well, listen, even with that kind of a mindset, we can actually dive into God's word together. Now, I'm going to read the scripture. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. I want you to follow along as I read from the New International Version. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Amphipolis and Apollonia, my mouth is not working this morning. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue in this basically Gentile community. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue in spite of the fact that every time he went into the synagogue, he found resistance. But he always started at the synagogue. And he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer, the promised one. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. In other words, there were a lot of women that joined this as well. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters, some bad actors from the marketplace, and formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of his brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house." They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. And when they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post a bond and let them go. And essentially this, not a bond like to get them out of jail. They weren't in jail. Post a bond to say, these guys better leave town or we're going to keep your money. Okay? So they better leave or the money is ours. Verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue once again. Now the Bereans, again, a Gentile community. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said, to see if it was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, would you take your notes out? I want to just call attention to a couple of questions. I want you to make sure in the back of your notes that you circles question numbers 4 and 5. That's for later. I want you to start to kind of process with that which we're talking about this morning after the service. The service will make much more sense if you'll do this little bit of homework after the fact. And you got to take it home. We all have to take it home and give some serious consideration. Now, I want to call your attention to what's on the inside of this of your notes. There's three little blanks to fill in, and you can follow them along as we kind of consider the passage that I just read. The first point is in keeping with what we read about. And that first point is this, that it's kind of a direction. I'm encouraging all of us here, the direction is this, have a spirit-led plan to engage people with the good news that is in Jesus. Have a spirit-led plan, a spirit-led plan. In other words, the Spirit of God is speaking to you and helping you see and understand and come up with an idea of how you can engage other people with the good news that is in Jesus. Are you fully aware? Well, first of all, what was Paul's spirit-led plan to engage people in talking about Jesus? What was it? What was it? Go to the synagogue. Go to that place where people are going to get ticked off at you, right? I mean, it's going to be every single synagogue he goes to. It's not like they were reading this online. He starts talking about the Messiah. He starts getting people's attention, and people start listening carefully to this talk about the Messiah. And one after another, they are really ticked off. But every single place, he gets to talk to them about the reality of who Jesus is. And he doesn't just get to talk to them about what he thinks about Jesus. He goes back and he reasons with them from the scriptures. And people, there's always a crowd that want to talk more. It's like, have you been in conversations with people, maybe over lunch? I know we're not supposed to talk about, this is this crazy rule. Don't talk about politics and religion, but everybody talks about politics and religion. But one way or the other, they somehow get back to those things. One person said to me recently, you know, every time I talk to my brother, every time, he gets ticked off at me and says, all you want to talk about is religion. And my friend says, I never bring the subject up. He's always the one that starts the subject. We always go back to religion. And so his brother's kind of got this on his mind, and he blames our friend the Christian for bringing the subject up. Paul found a way to get to talk to people about what the scriptures had to say about Jesus long before he came, and then update them on what happened and how Jesus fits the descriptions in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures, to talk about Jesus. So now, this is where it gets real personal, okay? For everybody here, you sang the songs, you gave the money, we're going to have communion, we're going to do some religious things here, we're going to continue. But here's the question. What's your plan? What's your plan? What's part of your plan for engaging people to talk about Jesus? Some of you might be saying, well, where do I come up with this plan? Well, we sang this song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we didn't mean that you're only welcome here in the sanctuary. This is kind of like it's kind of like priming the pump. Is the Holy Spirit welcome when you go to work? Is that your attitude? When you go to school, is the Holy Spirit welcome there? I mean, you're there. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, lives in you. He lives. He's resident in you. Is he welcome? Is he welcome to kind of bring his agenda to you? And when you say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Is he present there when you say, Holy Spirit, or Lord, God Almighty, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my mind and heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Is he present there? Well, if the Holy Spirit is resident in you, it's just an opportunity everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, when we lay our head down on our pillow, when we are riding in the car, is he welcome to bring his agenda to our lives? So a good place to start is say, Lord, Pastor talked this morning about a plan. Help me plan. Whether it's a written plan or not, help just engage my mind and my heart so I'm reminded of where I can engage people in talking about Jesus. Now, and that plan hopefully will take them to the next point, but just wait a moment on that. Your plan might be to engage people. What's your plan? Your plan might be to engage people on Twitter. It might be to engage people on Facebook. It might be to engage people on the internet when you're just you're keeping contact with people. I don't know. I'm not much of a Facebook person, but I'm sure many of you have a Facebook presence. Might be a good place to have a plan to talk about what God has been teaching you. I've seen plenty of people that have shared big time truth. I mean, very sturdy people who are connected with their world, who make a regular habit of sharing a verse. Sometimes it's a verse from Scripture. Sometimes it's something that they've gotten out of the big book for Alcoholics Anonymous. But they're sharing what God is teaching and revealing to them, and they start the conversation. Where is it that you can start the conversation? It might be on the sidelines at a sport with your kids, the parents of your kids' friends. It might be in a coffee shop. It might be with people that you meet with regularly as a kind of a little bit of a social network. You just love to get together for breakfast, or it's your own personal breakfast club. But come up with a plan to begin to just say, Lord, I would love to talk about you, and just show me the way. Sometimes that plan, if you're honest about it and you say, Lord, would you help me come up with a plan as to how I can talk to people? You might want to get together with somebody that does seem to have a plan to talk to people about Christ. Be willing to learn how to how to give what's going on in your spirit with God, but giving it a voice. Lend your voice to engaging people about Christ so that they might firsthand discover who he is. What do you think? Do you think this could be you to come up with a plan? I can't give you all the ideas. I can't. You know, we'd go a long, long time if I even tried to give you all the, but I know this. The Holy Spirit can give you a plan. We've got somebody here who had a plan. And this person connects with people in our community when he's got a knowledge of different languages. He finds ways, he's involved in a German club. He meets with people who, and he wants to, you know, he wants to learn to speak German with other people. He connected with a Spanish-speaking baker in the community. And we all benefited from that conversation with a Spanish-speaking baker who gave him all this excess bread for months and months and months. And some of you were engaged in praying for that baker. It's a plan. It's a plan that is guided by the Spirit of God. It is, that plan is inspired by the Spirit of God. That plan is empowered by the Spirit of God. Just a person humbly being in a place where God can use him. I know other people that have begun Bible studies with women in the community, book clubs, in order to give voice to a conversation about Jesus. Well, the second point is to use the scriptures. If we're going to do this, use the scriptures. That's the fill-in point, the scriptures, to engage people in talk about the possibility of knowing God by faith in the person of Jesus. Did you get that? Use the scriptures. Use the scriptures. I know some of you are bright enough, you're a lot brighter than me, and maybe you're a historian, or you're a mathematician, or you love psychology, and maybe you've kind of figured out, or philosophy. I can talk about, we can start talking about philosophy, and maybe that'll get around to the deeper things in life. We can go from talking about blinds, you know, and carpet and cars, and we'll just kind of go around and we'll start talking about philosophy and religion, and maybe Jesus will come up. I would just say, hey, come on. Bring the subject around to Jesus and search the scriptures. I've had all sorts of people. The big deal is not, well, what's with all these religions? I had a conversation this week with some guys about religions and all the different sects of Christianity. And all, you know, it's like, yada, 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 yada. Okay, there's all these different sects of and denominations of Christianity. And that's okay, you know, that's kind of an okay subject. But the subject that's going to matter for all eternity is Jesus. So get to Jesus. And where are you going to find Jesus? Where are you going to find him? Where do you find him? In the Bible, okay? So get in the Bible. I don't care what, you know, when you start talking to people about, if I say, please tell me about your spiritual journey, people will always start with church. Well, that's okay. You got to start somewhere in your conversation. But we can all just give our little take on church and rules in churches and rituals and all that sort of stuff. But it's really not going to go anywhere until we get to Jesus. And we find him in Scripture. Let's find out about what we think about Jesus and maybe dive into it. We just went through a couple of years here, if you were part of Calvary, in the book of Mark. Get into the book of Mark and talk about Jesus. Get into the book of John and talk about Jesus. Listen to what he had to say and read this together. Just read it. And people, actually, a lot of people, are when it comes down to it, will be more than delighted to pick up a Bible and read it for themselves, a Bible that they can take home. I was talking with a woman recently. I said, do you have a Bible? And she said, well, I think I could borrow one. Okay, well, but let me tell you, you could take your phone right here and you could get a Bible, you could get an app right here. It's the Holy Bible app. And you can have a whole lot of different translations. Right here, let me help you get it. And that would be an easy way to do this. You could read that and read that even with some of your friends and decide what you think about Jesus, not based upon what you think about religion, but what do you think about Jesus? And what did he say? And what did he do? And how did he act? Decide on the basis of what Jesus says. Find a way to open the scriptures. Talk about Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Let him do the talking. Let Jesus do the talking. Ask the question along the way, how important is Jesus Christ in your world? Hey, a few of us, I like this with what Jeff Barnison does, our missionary to graduate students at Harvard, with students from all over the world who come to do their graduate work at Harvard, all different religions, and many have had no firsthand experience with Jesus in the Bible. They just said, would you just come? We're just going to read scripture and talk about it a little bit. Find out what the Bible talks about with Jesus. Would you join us as we do that? Third point. People who are eager to know God. Those who are eager to know God. You've just written that. Stop and listen to this. There is within the heart of every person in the world a God-shaped vacuum that will never be satisfied. People will seek it in the bottle. They'll seek it on the roads. They'll seek it at high speeds. They'll seek a relationship with God in very dangerous activity that could give them an immediate access to God. Those who are eager to know God, who are really eager to know him, examine the scriptures to discover the truth for themselves. What a powerful verse. The Bereans, they were so much more noble, were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was actually true. Think of the words of Jeremiah the prophet speaking to a rebellious people. You will find me if you seek me with all your heart. You will surely find me if you seek me with all your heart. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures themselves. Assure your friends, when you get into that conversation about Jesus, when you have that opportunity to do a short little Bible study, a week or two or three or six, when you're going to do that Bible study for just this little period of time, assure them God wants you to know him. He promises that if you seek him, you will surely find him. He sent the Holy Spirit of God, who you may have heard about, you may not, but he sent him into the world to remind us of what he said and to bring that not only to our awareness, but actually to convict people and convince people as to who he is. Assure them, if you're eager to find him, you're going to find him. By the way, do you believe that? Do you believe it enough for your own self that you search the scriptures eagerly, looking for answers? Do you believe it enough to answer the questions on the back of this of your notes? Do you believe it enough to answer those questions? To check out whether I was saying the truth or not today? I invite you to do so. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for pulling us together here today for worship, worship that includes singing and praying, of listening and responding. I pray, Father, that you would engage our minds and hearts. I thank you so much, Lord, that this week, every one of us will come across countless people who need to know you and have a true relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that you would make us aware of that, really alert to that, and that we would live up to our calling, not only to get along with each other, not only to nurture our families, but also to seek you and to help other people seek you. I thank you, Lord, that we will not be alone, that the Holy Spirit, whom you sent to be resident in us, if we're serious about living up to our calling, that the Holy Spirit will engage us with people this week. And so we lean on you ever so thankfully. In Jesus' name, amen.